Tere Radha Madhava Kunya Viha Alilaya Adamadhava Kunya Viha Madhava Kunya Viha Adi Kopi Jana Valla Radhani Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivara Radhani Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivara Radhani Yasodhanandana Raja Janarandana Raja Janarandana Yasodhanandana Raja Janarandana Chamuna Tira Vanachani Chamuna Tira Vanachani Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya Vihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya Vihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya Vihari Hare Krishna, oh Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare
Hare Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare
Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Hare Krishna Hare Krishna Krishna
Hare Hare
Hare Rama Hare Rama Rama Rama
Hare Hare Jaya Prabhupada 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 Srila Prabhupada Jaya Gauranitai Jaya Gauranitai 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 Jaya Jagannath Jaya Jagannath Jai Baladev Jai Subhadra Ora Premanandi Hari Hari Bol. Yes, Hari Bol. This was Advaita Singha's daughter. Name of daughter?
Gita Priya.
Gita Priya. Welcome, Gita Priya.
Hari Bol.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Hare Krishna. So today is my last day amongst all of you, and I've handpicked carefully a subject matter that has become increasingly dear in my own spiritual life, prayer. Prayer is a direct way of coming in contact with Krishna, and prayer, when done with a, let us say, from the real person, I mean, not just not that you pray because you think it's good or you feel you must pray or so, but if the real devotional core, the essence, the sincere part in you prays, they are always answered. So we will hear about this amazing form of making contact with the Lord, and I think if I come back latest in 1 year, you will all be pure devotees. That's my hope. Damodar Prasad smiles. He's not so sure if it will go so fast. Let's try. Hare Krishna. So let me just get my glasses. Sorry, I'm a little bit here. Disoriented still. Ananda Chaitanya, I said, let us not be so fast. I was the fast one today. I'm sorry. No problem. So we will read a verse. Let me see if I have it. This is the first canto here. It must be here. Yes. No, this is the Bhagavad Gita.
Eighth canto.
Yes. Here's the eighth canto. Yeah, richtig. This happens to be one of my favorite verses, and also the purport is really amazing. So let us start. One moment. Here we are. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. With the Sanskrit, Madrik Prapanna Pashupasha Vimokshanaya.
Madrik Prapanna Pashupasha Vimokshanaya.
Muktaya Buri Karunaya Namo Layaya.
Muktaya Buri Karunaya Namo Layaya.
Svamshena sarva tanu brinmanasi pratita.
Svamshena sarva tanu brinmanasi pratita.
Pradyaktrishe bhagavate brihate namaste.
Pradyaktrishe bhagavate brihate namaste.
मादृक् प्रपन्न पशु पाश पाश विमोक्षनाय मोक्ताय भूरि करुणाय नमोलयाय स्वांशेन सर्वतनुबृन्मनुषि प्रथित प्रज्ञग्दृशे भगवते बृहते नमस्ते Yes, please, someone else.
Matri prapanna pashu pasha vimokshanaya.
Matri prapanna pashu pasha vimokshanaya.
Muktaya bhuri karunaya namolaya.
Muktaya bhuri karunaya namolaya.
Namaste.
Madrik prapana pashu pasha vimokshanaya.
Madrik prapana pashu pasha vimokshanaya.
Muktaya bhuri karunaya namo lalaya.
Muktaya bhuri karunaya namo lalaya.
Svamshena sarvata. Manasi pratita
samshena sarva tanu manasi pratita
pratyakshe bhagavate brihate namaste
pratyakshe bhagavate brihate namaste
Yes, a Vaishnavi, please.
Madri Pravana Pashu Pasha Vimokshanaya Muktaya Bhuri Karunaya Namolaya Samshena Sarvatanu Vrinmanasi Pratita
Thank you. Madre, like me, Prapanna, surrendered, Pashu, an animal, Pasha, from entanglement. I must inform you, these are the prayers of Gajendra in full surrender to Lord Krishna. So just that you have the context, no? Vimokshanaya,
Vimokshanaya.
Unto he who releases. Muktaya,
Muktaya.
Unto the supreme who's untouched by the contamination of material nature. Unto the supreme who's untouched by the contamination. Bhuri Karunaya, who are unlimitedly merciful. Namaha, I offer my respectful obeisances. Alayaya, who are never inattentive or idle. Svamshena, by your partial feature is Paramatma. Sarva, of all, Tanubrit, the living entities embodied in material nature. Manasi, in the mind, Pratita, who are acknowledged, Pradyagdrishe, as the direct observer of all activities, Bhagavate, unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Brihate, who are unlimited. Namaha, I offer my respectful obeisances. Te, unto you. Yes. So, once again, because this will be necessary for us to understand the verse, Gajendra, the king of the elephants, had been attacked while bathing by a powerful crocodile who began to defeat him and pull him into deep waters to kill him, actually. And the shock was so great that somehow his remembrance of his past life was awakened. Under great shock, we have different perceptions. Things come to us. We may all of a sudden find a solution to a problem which was before not known to us. So this is the you could call it's the shock therapy. So he then turned to the Lord, chanting a prayer which he had learned in his past life. He remembered his past life and a prayer. Prabhupada makes the point, because we don't know where we will be born, it's good to learn now a good prayer so that when something goes wrong in the next life, we will remember, like Gajendra did, our spiritual life. I believe that many of you practiced spiritual life and at a certain time practiced before you came to Krishna consciousness. As a certain time you just woke up from your material entanglement or dream, and then you continued where you left off in your previous life. That is a usual scenario we find a few times in the Bhagavatam. So, okay, here is now the prayer of Gajendra. It's one of, I think it's about 30 prayers. Let us hear. Since an animal such as I has surrendered unto you who are supremely liberated, certainly you will release me from this dangerous position. Indeed, being extremely merciful, you incessantly try to deliver me. By your partial feature as Paramatma, you are situated in the hearts of all embodied beings. You are celebrated as direct transcendental knowledge, and you are unlimited. I offer my respectful obeisances unto you, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It's a long purport. In the first section of the purport, Srila Prabhupada explains how, as Paramatma, Krishna is spread throughout the world, and he is always with us, seeing us. This is very known to you, but what is perhaps new is explained in the second part. Prabhupada will start with a very shocking statement. In this material world, everyone is a pashu, an animal, because of the bodily conception of life. Then he offers a verse which explains what it means to be an animal, even if you are a human being. So by this standard, you will see why he says everyone is an animal. Prabhupada is quite Oh, you know, he does. He says things as they are. A human being who identifies the body made of three elements as the self, who considers the byproducts of the body, you know, sons, daughters, and so on, to be his kinsmen, die Verwandten, who considers the land of his birth to be worshipable, and who goes to a place of pilgrimage simply to bathe rather than to meet men of transcendental knowledge there, is to be considered like a cow or an ass. Prabhupada continues, practically everyone therefore is a pashu, an animal, and everyone is attacked by the crocodile of material existence. Not only the king of the elephants, but every single one of us is being attacked by the crocodile and is suffering the consequences. Now, this is quite intense, you know. I think no one of us expected to be called that in the morning, you know. Still digesting, but now it takes a very surprising turn. Only Krishna can deliver us from this material existence. Indeed, Krishna is always trying to deliver us. Ishvara sarvabhutanam hridayeshu junatishtati. He's within our hearts. And is not at all inattentive. His only aim is to deliver us from material life. It is not that he becomes attentive to us only when we offer prayers to him. No, it's wrong. Even before we offer our prayers, he incessantly tries to deliver us. He is never lazy in regard to our deliverance. Therefore, this verse says, Bhuri Karunaya Namo Lalayaya. It is the causeless mercy of the Supreme Lord that he always tries to bring us back home, back to Godhead. God is liberated, and he tries to make us liberated. But although he constantly is trying, we refuse to accept his instructions. Krishna is liberated and tries to make us also liberated. He's constantly trying, but we, what do? We refuse to accept his instructions. Savadamang parityaja mang ekam sharanam vraja. Nonetheless, he has not become angry. Therefore, he is described here as Bhuri Karunaya, unlimitedly merciful in delivering us from this miserable material condition of life and taking us back home, back to Godhead. I like to read various authors on spiritual truths. But I really have, you know, I'm not saying it because I'm a disciple. Perhaps I'm already a little bit biased, but, you know, if how Prabhupada makes the point that Krishna is constantly trying to, liberate us, but we are refusing to accept his help. Nonetheless, he has not become angry. He continues to try. Yes, so this is the verse. Do you like, could you hear, could you appreciate? It's an interesting purport, no? When I first read it, that was when I was a young man, I must say, I was really surprised. So let us send our obeisances to Srila Prabhupada. Namo, please join me. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Vistaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pacharine Nirvishesha Shunyavari Paskatyane Satarine Sri Krishna Chaitana Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sri Vasadi Govaktavinda. So here three qualities of Krishna are given. First, Bhagavate Brihate Namaste. Obeisances are offered to the unlimited Lord Sri Krishna. He's unlimited. Then the next one is Muktaye. He is liberated from the material existence. He's not really under the same rules as we are. Even when Krishna takes his birth, we learn this in this world, as he will do in Jamashtami, we will celebrate this. His birth is different from ours. He comes and he goes actually from this world by his own energy. He's not under the influence of the material energy. He has a particular interest in us, his souls. He wants to liberate us. And only because he's Muktaye, he is liberated himself, does he have the capacity to liberate us. A person who is himself bound with ropes by the hands and the feet cannot free another bound person. No, it needs to be liberated to move and untie the bondage and so on. But you know, to be unlimited liberated is not yet sufficient in order to show an interest in us. For instance, someone may have $1 million and yes, he has the capability to free another person from poverty. He could give him a large donation, but if he lacks mercy and compassion, he will keep his hard-earned money by himself and not do anything for the welfare of others. So just that the fact that Krishna is liberated doesn't mean that he has an interest in helping us. Therefore, the next quality is Bhuri Karunaya. He's unlimitedly merciful. And therefore, combined with his Muktaye, his being liberated, he can actually, is capable to help us. In fact, he's the only person who is capable to help us. How is Krishna aware of what is going on in our lives, and how can he really offer relevant help, necessary help? Well, it is described Svangsena Sarva in Tanu Brinmanasi. He stays right in our heart, and Pratita Prakyak Drashe. Drashe means to see. He directly observes us. Can you imagine? Krishna is in our heart and he moves along with us in all species of life, not just when we are humans, but also before that and who knows, our future after that. He's there. And Namo Alayaya, he pays close attention to especially his devotee. I personally have given many retreats by now. I can't count them any longer because I forget it, so many about chanting. And I sometimes tell my audience when they are interested how I chant personally, that I personally do not know any better sadhana to be attentive than to remember that Krishna is right in my heart and listens to every mantra. It's an interesting concept. I have seen sometimes when devotees sit and chant and all of a sudden their spiritual master comes in, they sit up and Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. Before that, they may have looked at their WhatsApp, you know, the incoming new calls to try to see if something important is there. But when superior comes in, they behave very nicely. This is a common phenomenon. We all do this, yeah, to some degree or another. So if you remember that the Supreme Person is next to you, you know, the Lord Himself, you, and He listens, He is, the word is pradyaktrishe, He's the direct observer of all activities. He's, in other words, attentive to you. He wants to see what are you doing with your spiritual life. No? Then you naturally are inclined to be more attentive than if you feel you are alone chanting. Now, Krishna gives His mercy to the devotees, and He does this because of affection. Prabhupada says, being obliged only by affection. That is our Lord. In other words, Prabhupada says, Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is merciful. But His mercy does not depend on mundane rules and regulations. He is dependent only on affection and nothing else. You may think in your heart, oh yes, Maharaj, I know Krishna responds to us according to my affection. But that's the whole problem with me. I don't have affection for Krishna. I have some affection to people who are close to me, some. But even then I become tired after some time. I'm not much of a devotee. My love for Krishna has not been born. If you want to hear the Sanskrit, Ajata Ruchi, I'm a person whose taste is and love is not yet there. Now, therefore, sometimes we feel unconsciously it is hopeless for me to turn to Krishna. Krishna is responding only if I have affection. Since I do not have affection, why bother? Why should I bother, or why should I bother Krishna with this? Do you sometimes feel like this? I personally feel like this. Yes, there are many explanations how Krishna takes care of His devotees, but I'm not much of a devotee, if I'm very honest. And that gives me pain, but I can't really change it overnight and be the next day a good devotee. But my dear devotees, take courage. The Bhagavatam, Narada Muni addresses this concern. And he this is a wonderful verse. Navaijano jatu kanchana. Oh, I have to look it up here. Katana va vrajan. What this means is Narada Muni says to Vyasadeva that Krishna even loves a fallen devotee. Ooh. Now, you are not fallen, so you have some chance here. He says, my dear Vyasa, even though a devotee of Lord Krishna sometimes falls down, somehow or other, he certainly does not undergo material existence like the others, kamis, for instance. Because a person who has once relished the taste of the lotus feet of the Lord can do nothing but remember the ecstasy again and again. So if a person who is fallen does not forget Krishna or give Krishna up, but tries again, then Krishna won't forget his devotees, because that is his promise. But what is with our suffering? We suffer. It does not... I don't feel we could say that the Lord is merciful to me. Listen how Prabhupada addresses this question. He says, the sufferings of an orphan, ein Waisenjunge, and the sufferings of a beloved child of a king are not on the same level. An orphan is really poor because he has no one to take care of him. But a beloved son of a rich man, although he appears to be on the same level as the orphan, is always under the vigilance of the capable father. Vigilance means the capable father will look after him. No? So this I find extremely comforting, and I think all of you can find in their lives situations where Krishna was definitely there. Yes, you may have felt at that time, and perhaps you feel even now, that you are not a devotee who is on the highest level. But there is no reason to feel that Krishna is not taking care. We hear from Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, when he discusses the offenses, that, let me remember, yes, even someone who, if a servant commits offenses, the good master, if it's a good master, will certainly still take care of him. He will not throw him out of the house, he will leave him in the room, here's your room, and he will also have some food. And in the same way, Krishna, even though we may feel we are offensive towards him, is not giving us up, but he continues to supply us with the minimal things, you know, food, air. Ooh, good, fresh air. Krishna's mercy, you know, we can say like this. Fresh air, wonderful. Krishna still takes care. That's how a devotee feels. But yes, if the devotee wants to absolutely forget and ignore Krishna. Krishna is not what we say in German language, übergriffig. What this means in English, I don't know. He's not forcing his love upon us. But he still takes care from the distance. Yes. So all this, I wanted to chant this verse with you this morning and go through the Sanskrit where it is said he's unlimitedly I wanted to say he's attentive to you, he pays close attention to what you do, to encourage you in the simple practice of prayer. May I know of you who prays once a month to Krishna? Can I pray once a month? We need honest answers, no? Perhaps I do not ask you, because when I ask you, everyone looks around and then we feel intimidated if we don't. Just think on your own. Do you pray once a month to Krishna? How often do you pray? Perhaps even more, once a week to Krishna? This becomes an interesting question, no? I mean, consciously go. Everyone says, "Oh, Krishna," you know. But we speak here of conscious prayer, no? Well, do you pray daily to Krishna? I mean, maybe you pray once a week to Krishna. Let's ask, do you pray daily to Krishna? My dear devotees, prayer is one of the most effective ways of connecting with God, because prayers, when properly done, are a personal conversation with the Lord. So there are four elements. I've talked once in Germany about it, in good prayers. And perhaps this will help you if you understand what are the four elements of prayers. Maybe it helps you to pray a little bit more often to Krishna. This is my hope, because I think if we don't know how to ride on a bicycle, we will never ride on a bicycle. But if we know step one, step two, step three, how to ride a bicycle, we will ride on a bicycle. So if we know how to pray, perhaps we feel more confident to pray regularly to Krishna. So here is the first element when you want to pray to Krishna. It is you praise Krishna. I want to read you an example of this. It comes in the prayers of Queen Kunti. Whoops, it's here. Shrimati Kunti Devi said, Namasye Purusham Tvadyam, Namasye Purusham Tvadyam, Ishvaram Prakite Param,
Ishvaram Prakite Param,
Alakshyam Savabhutanam,
Alakshyam Savabhutanam,
Antabahiravastitam,
Antabahiravastitam.
Yes. So she prays now something. So as you are now listening to the prayers, you are put before a choice. Will you just listen to it, or will you try to make it your own prayer? You have to understand, prayer, like conversation, will only really reach the person when the one who converses with you, or prays in this case, really means it. I remember I was yesterday in a conversation where someone said to me something, and I knew you know, I happen to know this person, and just the day before, someone who I trust very much and who likes that person also told me something truthfully about the person. So now this person is there and talks, and I know you're not telling the truth to me. I happen to know what is your situation, and he did not really mean what he said. You could also hear it by the sound. And inside of me, I said, oh, I have so many people to talk to today. I hope this soon is over. And I said, may you soon come to the end of your words. May you soon come to the end of the words. May you soon come to the end of the words. This is called subtle influence, by the way. And the person soon didn't know what to say any longer. Telling you a few mean tricks. This is really mean, I understand. So that you stop having a high opinion of me, that is important to me, that you know I'm not so kind as I look. But I really felt you are wasting your time because you don't tell the truth, and I have so many people, so please make it quick. I said, yeah, may you soon come to the end of your words. And I knew it for a fact because two devotees have told me, and I can also, by intuition, you can see what is going on. So when you pray to Krishna, please speak the truth. Please praise as you can praise him. Or say, Krishna, I don't know you very well. I praise you now like the good devotees do. I will try to enter the shoes. So when you hear now, imagine Queen Kunti is standing before the Lord, and she's really meaning what she says. She says, oh Krishna, I offer my obeisances unto you because you are the original personality and are unaffected by the qualities of the material world. We heard this already, no? This morning we heard Krishna is Muktaye. Do you remember? Muktaye, liberated, no? You, Krishna, are existing both within and without everything, yet you are invisible to all. She says, you are existing in my heart and you are existing outside, but my dear Lord Krishna, I cannot see you. I'm very sorry, I cannot see you. So this is a very wonderful prayer. Those who like to follow this up, it's in the 8th canto, chapter 8, text 18. No, this is the first element before you come to Krishna. You praise him sincerely. This, by the way, we do amongst human beings. Oh, we say nowadays, it's a new culture of language has developed in the last few years. We feel, oh, thank you. Oh, thank you. For what do you think? Want to thank me? I just wanted to say thank you. Good, thank you. Oh, thank you. Or we try to say, I heard your kirtan and I really appreciated it. Now we try to say something nice, and if we mean it, then it's really powerful. If we don't mean it, it is just a social convention. It's also not bad, you know, it's not... it's nice to be polite, but prayer goes deeper than just politeness. No, you praise Krishna. This is the art of conversation with Krishna. My God, this is intimate. The next element of prayer is perhaps unusual for us. We are telling Krishna our disqualification. The reason is we don't want to look, we don't want to project ourselves as being better than we are. It's not like in mundane conversations. You tend to express what goes well in your life. You don't tell someone what does not go well, because you also don't intend to ask them to help you, no? So you say the good things, you know. It is as, I don't want to criticize it this way, but when you stand before the Lord, you are actually expressing your disqualifications and what troubles you, because in the end, this is important for the fourth step. So here's an example of Queen Kunti. She said, "You yourself have come from the spiritual world. You descend to propagate the transcendental science of devotional service unto the hearts of the advanced transcendentalists and mental speculators, who are purified by being able to discriminate between matter and spirit." I admit it's a very high language. What she says is, you, my Lord, usually only appear to people who are very qualified, who have understood the difference between matter and spirit. They know that they are eternal souls. But then she says, how then can we women know you perfectly? I can't make this distinction between matter and spirit. Now, Queen Kunti happens to be, is a woman, but this doesn't mean that only women are disqualified. If you would say the prayer, you would say, my Lord, you usually appear only to the great souls, but I'm not, then how can I know you? No, this is the idea, to express one's disqualifications. The third element of prayer, this was 1820, if you like to go through this in your private time. Now the third element of prayer, it's here. Before you asked Krishna for something, you express the great gratitude for all he has already done for you. Isn't that a beautiful element? Because if we are not grateful for what has been given to us, why should we get more? I find this is a difficulty in our when devotees come to their spiritual masters and ask for second initiation, then the spiritual master sometimes turns to them and says, are you able to follow this chanting 16 rounds a day? And if they are not doing this, then he thinks, but if I give you now something on top of it, you will also not do that. You will also not chant your Gayatri Mantra. So first you need to do your 16 rounds daily. Then you can come and get something extra. So Krishna also, he wants to see, are we grateful to what he has already given us? Because if he gives us now something on top, we will also not be grateful for that. No, this is logic. No? So you express sincerely. Here, this is what Queen Kunti does here. My dear Lord Krishna, she goes now back into what we call in contemporary English memory lane. She remembers the past. My dear Lord Krishna, your Lordship has protected us from a poisoned cake. Do you remember the... What was this poison cake? Who? Yeah, Duryodhana gave poison cake to Bhim Sena. You have protected, you know, beam fell in the water and was falling on the ground, and there of the water, and there some nagas were sent by Krishna, these snakes, who bit him also with poison. So the naga poison counteracted the Duryodhana poison, you know, and Bhima felt fine and came out and was absolutely healthy. Very angry though. He was very, you don't just poison Bhima and then you say, oh, it's normal. No. You have, my Lord, you have also protected us from cannibals. Do you remember when the Pandavas were in the forest, there was this Hidimba, a cannibal, a man-eating demon who attacked them, but Bhima had finally some opportunity. He had a punchback, you know, with Hidimba, and he then married the sister Hidimbi. Yes, you have protected us. We were in great danger to be eaten by cannibals. You have protected us from the vicious assembly. Let us see if Prabhupada. And once Draupadi was dragged out and attempts were made to insult her by stripping her naked in the vicious assembly of the Kurus, no? So Krishna had come at that time when the evildoers wanted to disrobe Draupadi, and he had extended himself into an unlimited amount of cloth. That's how he protected the Pandavas. You have protected us from sufferings during our exile in the forest. Remember how Duryodhana sent Durvasa to remember how Duryodhana came with Karna and a full army into the forest where the Pandavas were unarmed and he wanted to attack them. Oh. You have protected us from the battle where great generals fought. This is of course the battle of Kurukshetra. And now you have saved us from the weapon of Ashwatthama. So a devotee will say, my Lord, I recognize you have taken so much care of me. You have been so kind. You have given me entry into Krishna consciousness. You have given me the holy name. You have given me life. You have given me a purpose to live for. And so on. This is how a devotee prays. And finally he ends his prayer sessions with something which I feel is very close to, at least to my heart, it's very close. But let me first go through the first elements again. So what was the first element of prayer? Praise, wonderful. What was the second element of prayer? We are expressing our disqualification. Mm-hmm. This is very unusual. This is in talk with God, in talk with ordinary people, with people. We don't immediately say, I'm fallen, Prabhu, I eat too much, and so on. No, but this is different with the Lord. And the third? Yes, we express gratitude for all that Krishna has given us already. And then, finally, we asked a blessing. Prayers, my dear devotees, that is usually expected to ask a blessing. That is our good right to ask a blessing to the Lord. The Lord is like a father who wants to help. Here is one example from the prayers of Queen Kunti. Oh my Lord, you have executed, once again, oh my Lord, She is asking now for a blessing. Oh my Lord, you have executed all duties yourself. You have done everything. You are leaving us today. You came and drove Arjuna's chariot. You took care of the horses. You have executed everything. Are you leaving us today? Though we are completely dependent on your mercy and have no one else to protect us, now when all kings are at enmity with us, you know, the Pandavas were most fortunate to win over their enemies, but the enemies are not happy, you know, when they are continuing their enmity. So, please don't leave us. That's what she says in essence. She requests a blessing. My dear devotees, how do you like this life of prayer? Praise Krishna, express disqualifications, thank him and request a blessing. It's highly personal, isn't it? It's very individual. It's not mechanic. It is not something we have to sit down and become real with Krishna. And this is very, very important, to become real in our relationship with Krishna. Because Krishna will reveal himself only in proportion to our surrender. You know, he does not want to impose himself. Er ist doch nicht übergriffig. This is such a nice German word. But I think many of us have still this idea of becoming independent and taking our lives in our hand. Prabhupada speaks about this. The perfection of life is to become dependent on the will of the Lord instead of becoming falsely independent in the material world. Those who try to become falsely independent of the Lord are called anatta, not anartha, but without R. Anatta. R means not anatta, a Lord. Without a guardian. Whereas those who are completely dependent on the will of the Lord are called sanata, those having someone to protect them. Therefore, we must try to be sanata. What does sanata again mean?
Nata is Lord, sa means having, a means not having.
Yeah, sa can also mean together with the Lord, no? Therefore, we must try to be sanata, no? Having someone to protect us, Krishna. Therefore, we must try to be sanata so that we can always be protected from the unfavorable condition of material existence. It's only by Maya that we forget that we are sanata and we feel anatta without a Lord. So this is a very nice process. It is described in the Bhagavatam how Krishna felt when he heard these prayers of Queen Kunti. Would you like to know?
Yes.
Good. Sutta uvacha britayetam kalapadaye parinuta kilodaya mandam jahasya vaikunto mohayaniva mayaya. The Lord, thus hearing the prayers of Kunti Devi, composed in choice words for his glorification, mildly smiled. This mild smile was as enchanting as his mystic power. Prabhupada says at one stage, he said, if you can make the Lord smile on you, that is the perfection of your life. The Lord mildly smiles. Oh, take a nice prayer. You know. No, Prabhupada, he says here something. No amount of chosen words is sufficient to enumerate the Lord's glory. Like no, even the best speaker can never count all the glories of the Lord. And yet, he is satisfied by such prayers as the Father is satisfied even by the broken linguistic attempts of the growing child. No? I've seen one father in the Bhakti retreat. He spent time with this little child, and I, and he was just having tears of love in his eyes when the child was speaking to him. And when the child was not present, even for a moment, the child, the father felt extremely worried, until he had found the child. So Krishna is like. Krishna is like a father in relationship to his devotee, and is even satisfied with prayers spoken in our broken way, you know, in our way as good as we can. So I would really, can you do me a favor? Do you have a mobile telephone with you? I see someone is checking their phone. This is good. Please take it out. And make a note. Four elements of prayers, yes? It will be good for you. One is praise the Lord. That's how you start. Second is express one's disqualifications. You could also abbreviate it and just write disqualification. Third is, yes, thank him for all he has given us. This is gratitude. Or you should say express gratitude, perhaps, no? And fourth is request blessings. Why not do this and try to practice this sanata yoga, you know, being dependent on the Lord. That's an interesting process in Krishna consciousness. It's called, there are various traditions. It's not that we are the only ones who know this, but this practicing in your life, to be in the presence of the Lord, that will make all the difference for you. Really, my dear devotees, it will make all the difference. So, this is my little lecture to you. I hope it was interesting to you, for you. And please forgive me if I sometimes have provoked your active thinking. What to do? I do hope you take something with you of this lecture. Would you like to know the verses again? Some of you have made notes, but behind praise the Lord, you can write 1818, just so that you have some example what it could mean from the Shastras. I know you like to read like anything. So then express one's disqualification is 1820 plus 26. Queen Kunti also says there. Third, thank Krishna for all he has given. It's 1824 plus 25 if you want. There are many, many examples. And when you request blessings, there's 1837 or 1842 is also. I try to go as often as possible through these four lists. Sometimes I say, my dear Lord, here I am again. Please don't lose patience with me. I'm trying, but I'm failing. But I'm trying. Hare Krishna. Yes. Hare Krishna. And now it's time for questions. I see first Advaita Singha and his good wife. Good wife's name?
Toshani.
Toshani. And this Gita Priya, who has charmed the hearts of the Matajis this morning. They were not able to pay much attention because she is so sweet. Yes, Advaita Singha. Gita Priya.
Okay.
Yes, yes, Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much. Thank you for this important topic. I have one question, because we get trained in a way that as devotees we shouldn't ask the Lord, we shouldn't ask for our own desires, and our only prayer should be, I want to be a pure devotee. But who is on this platform? Who are we that we approach the Lord, and then it's like you mentioned before, we just like an empty husk, we just pray to the Lord and we don't mean it. And isn't it better that we address the Lord in a way that I tell Krishna, hey Krishna, okay, praise him, I follow the process you gave us now, and then ask the Lord for what I really have in my heart, because then it's honest.
Yes. Yeah.
Shouldn't it be more emphasized?
Yeah, in the process, I mean, we have we have given examples from Queen Kunti's prayers, so that we know that this is an authorized process. And it's always good for us to anchor ourselves in the Shastras, because it's, the Shastras just have more insight and knowledge. But of course this process must be truthful. I think one can praise the Lord in whatever one has heard about his glories. Then when you express your disqualification, you are very much with you. No? You first with the Lord, then you come with you. And that's the opportunity to also express the pain which is still there in your heart. You can say, I'm trying, but I'm not so satisfied with the results. Hope I don't disappoint you too much, or whatever is in your heart. And then, by now you are highly personal, because you have expressed your situation. And then when you are grateful, you can also be highly personal. You can say, I'm grateful for the opportunity in my life, or there's something to be grateful for in our lives. And then finally you are asking for blessings. When you pray, you must make sure that the real you is praying. Otherwise it's empty words. Mm-hmm. Thank you. It's a very important question you asked. Toshani, what is your question?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, thank you for the class. I have a two-part question.
Mm-hmm.
Many times when we read these prayers, Krishna is already in front of the person who's praying. So they're praising him as he appears in front of them. So do we stand in front of the deity, or are we in our mind picturing Krishna as, how do we address him in this?
Wonderful question. Yes. Once Giriraj Maharaj asked Prabhupada how he should chant, and Prabhupada says, it's just like you're addressing me and I'm listening. This is how you address Krishna. So some image must be there, some understanding of Krishna must be there. You can do it before deities, or you can have your own photos of the deities when you are in your room. For instance, I know you're a mother, and mothers have time when the children sleep usually, then it's the time of the mother. So there may be it may not be before the altar of the deity in the temple, because it's closed already, but you could have a picture. Or yeah, I mean, you are now a devotee since many years. There must be some, when you talk about Krishna, you must by now have some idea how he is, how he looks. So you turn towards your Krishna, no? How you relate to Krishna. But it's an address that's important. Addressing means you address. When I write a letter, I write down the address with the particulars, the street, first the town where the person lives, then the street. So when you address Krishna, you must be particular. You must address him, as he is, you know. It is very good if you go before the deity and pictures, but even if you have no deities or no pictures, you don't need to wait before you pray until these elements are there. You can start just then, but the main thing is you need to address Krishna. Thank you, that's a very wonderful question. Anyone else? I see Madan Mohan and Prasida Nitai. Yamuna, I also saw you. So after Madan Mohan and Prasida Nitai, we will go to the person who writes down the verses. Yes?
I actually received this question by Shurisham, who is at work, but yeah, obviously also following the lecture, if I may.
Yes.
You quote,
hopefully the boss will not fire. You're listening to lectures while you are on the work. This is too much.
You quoted Bhakti Charaswami, who said, "The holy name alone is sufficient to take you back home, back to Godhead. However, to cultivate the mood of surrender, you need the Guru. Should we always have the attitude of coming before Krishna with humility, feeling unworthy and grateful for what we have received when we approach our spiritual master and the sadhus? Is this the inner attitude we should cultivate to advance as eternal students on the bhakti path? Is maintaining this attitude in all circumstances how we practice surrender?"
Uh-huh. Wonderful questions. I would love to give a simple answer here. When do relationships work? There are some elements. When you talk to someone and you are perhaps defensive towards the person, or you are a little bit in your own world, the communication is limited. No? I had yesterday someone asked me a question, and immediately after my answer, the person said, no, this won't work. And I said, Hare Krishna, I was thinking he must be totally under stress, you know. Then I said, in the most humble and perhaps you should listen to the fine nuances, which I've said, I didn't mean that, you know, but perhaps it's good to listen when we enter a conversation and what the other says. And the person immediately understood it. It's a wonderful devotee of the Lord, and immediately was able to listen and hear something that he could not hear. So you know, when we enter communication with superior persons, and we should only accept a guru if he can think he is superior to us, he knows more than us, he is perhaps more advanced, you know, so then only it makes sense. So when we have this relationship and we are how do you say, in a submissive way, we can listen. We can get many things, but when we are not submissive, we just don't hear anything. It's called, in computer language, Valdemar, Filterblase. You all have on your computer a Filterblase, you know. It means certain things come to you. Those of you who look movies know this. The computer algorithm will suggest certain movies, but not others. They will go on what you are accustomed to hear. So in the same way, you got on your computer news, which only enhance, you know, what you have listened before. So we all live in a Filterblase. What is a filter bubble is the English word for this. I learned this. I was shocked. I learned this from a professor just who came and visited me in the Bhakti retreat. He is a professor. He teaches social sciences, amongst other things, you know. And he says, "You don't know, Maharaj. People are all having a Filterblase on the computer, and they don't even know it. The algorithms will supply certain informations, and other informations are not supplied to them." So I was thinking, but that's what Maya does all the time. We don't need to have a computer for having a Filterblase or a filter bubble. Maya is, we only selected things get through to us, and therefore when you accept a guru, you know, I'm saying to those who have not yet accepted him, make sure that you are able to listen to him even when he says something different from your Filterblase, filter bubble, you know. And therefore, we must be very careful when we want spiritual knowledge from our spiritual teachers and superiors. We must be very careful, because if we approach them with our ordinary mind, we just can't learn anything any longer. That's not good for us. Filterblase. So yes, the idea here is you will need to be submissive, and that's the idea of surrender to Krishna. You know, when we pray to the guru, because only then you can learn new things. If you're not, then like this person, he was just a nice person, a guest who came to the temple. I'm now in a difficult situation. The person is amongst us, but I don't want to talk in a way that you know whom I'm talking about. So I'm putting a Filterblase around him so that you can't. Anyways, let's not make it complicated. Yes, submission is required. Otherwise, we can't learn anything new.
Thank you very much.
In all matters, if you want to always chant Trinada Pisunichina, you must learn this mission, humility. And by the way, because we hear it so often that we by now overhear it, we don't hear it any longer. What does it mean when we hear we should be submissive? It means we should be submissive in our body. That is, we express ourselves in a gentle way. We should be submissive in our thoughts. We should understand I'm not so qualified. And we should be submissive in our hearts. That means we should regret our fallen state. We should be honest about us. Humility only works if you practice this with the body, the mind, the heart, and then the speech. Wait until you speak. Don't speak humble without body, mind, and heart, because then your speech will mean absolutely nothing. You can say, I'm your humble servant, but it doesn't mean anything if you don't practice it with body, mind, and heart first. There's one work, it's the Param Atma Samhita, very rare work that says, speech always follows the mind. Therefore, first bring your mind in order, then the speech is truthful speech. It follows the mind. Good. I hope, Shisha, this will answer your question in some degree of satisfaction. I hope by now your boss has not found you, that you're secretly listening to a Hare Krishna temple lecture.
Thank you.
There was Prasida Nitai, and then Yamuna, and then we will end.
Hare Krishna, my question is about the last point of prayer, and that asking for blessings.
Mm-hmm.
So, how Krishna feels when we are asking? Many people say we should not bother Krishna, or Krishna is there, you know, playing in Vrindavan and not, you know, so present with us. So what's the difference between asking blessings and thinking that Krishna is our order supplier? Because we hear also when we chant and Krishna says, what do you want? And we ask for service, which of course encompasses everything, but often in the meantime we want to ask for specific things, maybe materials.
Yeah. Yes, wonderful question also. Yes, in this verse it was said that the Lord is in the heart, right there, and he's attentive to the devotee. He is seeing the devotee, and so you, when you turn to the Lord, he's very happy if you turn to him. Now, when you ask for blessings, there is a subtle difference if you of asking for blessings or ordering Krishna to do something. We hear that the Lord cannot be ordered, and I think we all know this, we all feel that. So when the Lord can, so you just say, my Lord, I have this situation, if it is your desire, please help me. No? And the Lord likes that type of turn. But if you say, I'm expecting you to change this, otherwise I shave off my seeker if I have not done so already. No? you know. Pressure. Pressurizing God. Some humor is required in the morning before breakfast. Yes. So there is a subtle difference between pushing, trying to, I think no one really tries to push the Lord. I'm just saying it out of joking spirit, no? Yes. See, we come from an ascetic tradition. The Goswamis of Vrindavan. Rupa Goswami is our, we are Rupanugas, we follow in these footsteps. And yes, we are definitely, we hear of the highest standards of devotion. But if you study our philosophy carefully, you will see there is something for all levels of devotees. There is not just knowledge for the highest devotees. Yes, the highest, super highest, more high than anything else we can imagine. They will not ask the Lord. Sometimes they also ask, but generally not. So you should not miss all the subtle nuances. Ask in devotion for a blessing, and don't always go like every day the same thing. I want money. I want money. I want money. I want computer science. I want to put my webpage on the highest degree of. No, you, in a way. The way I understand this question of asking is like this, Pasita Nitai. Now it gets subtle, now it gets nuanced, now you have to use whatever bit of intelligence you have. In our lives, we must take care that our motivation is right. When we come to Krishna consciousness, we come to a highly spiritual lineage, and we have to make sure that we understand what this is about. This is about loving Krishna in a selfless way, no? Loving him. That is should be our above our head. That's the goal. That's what we want. Now, on the way to this, there may be obstacles which we need to remove. So if you have your motivation right, then it's different when you asked for something, because it helps this motivation, it is connected with this motivation. When you don't have the motivation, then all of a sudden your request becomes a material request, which is not what we believe in. When you know, I want to go, I have joined this Krishna consciousness movement, maybe when I made the choice I was not mature, but by now I have read, I've heard, and I agree this is the goal of life, to develop love of Godhead, then when you ask for help to reach that goal, it is different than if you have nothing and no desire, no orientation for spiritual life. Then it's very bad. Then it's something else. If a child asks the father, please give me some money, because the child wants to buy the father Swiss chocolate, as an example, then it's different than if the child wants the money for himself. Hare Krishna. Good. Last question. Oh my God, we get so late. Yamuna, I suggest. No, yes, we do very quickly. Yes, I will be very concentrated now. Yes.
What I see myself again and again is like exactly the situation that you told me. Oh Krishna, here I'm coming again with this.
Yeah.
And I heard that actually the spiritual progress lies in the hand of the of us. But then I also see that I'm really failing again and again on the same topic. So is it that I don't pray enough, because actually Krishna gives the strength to change, but I also have to do so, or is it something else that he wants to tell?
Krishna, I think there is not one person in the room who is not in the same situation. You know, everyone, I have, and Yamuna, I have some good news for you. When you fail again and again, there are actually two ways of failing. Oops. Don't worry, it's not complicated. There's unconscious failing, when you just fail and you're not even aware that you fail. And then there is conscious failing, where you, while something happens to you, like you sleep too long and you wanted really to come to the morning program, but again, the gravitational force is so strong, stronger than your determination, you know, and you fail again, or you eat too much, and you know, when I eat, I can't just, I can't get up, or I'm moody after eating, or I'm so fat after eating that, so repeatedly so much. Then if you consciously go through this, like a conditioned soul, you know, oh my Lord, again, then there will come a time, there must come a time when you say, okay, now I got my lesson, I don't do it. It may take time, it may take years, but then you come. But what most of us do, and therefore we never get out of our bad habits, is they become unconscious. We just do them, we don't even think about them any longer. And then they become stronger, these habits. When you have habits that you do unconsciously, they become stronger. If you have habits that are not so desirable that you do consciously, while you do this, you say, ah, you will get out of this. It's like Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur talks about the second one. He says, I feel like a drinker who drinks again and again and again, and who curses himself, why am I drinking? This is how a devotee goes through his bad habits, consciously praying to Krishna, when will this end? When will you take me to your lotus feet? When will this? But if you don't pray any longer, and you don't even notice, you will not even notice it. It has become your second persona. So remain conscious, you know. Practice awareness in your life while here in the temple and outside. I mean, practice awareness in life, and as you practice awareness in life, the awareness will be like light that goes into the darkness, and eventually it will stop. So please try, no? So whatever is it that you feel is needs correction in your life, be aware of it, and when you can't yet give it up, let us say eating too much, I choose an innocent example here, then after some time it will stop. This is what I hear from all devotees with whom we have discussed, and this is what I see in my life also. Mm-hmm. Just don't do it unconsciously, and just don't be a pretender, and then it will go. Hare Krishna. I will end here. I'm sorry I was taking a little longer. It was a wonderful time to see all of you, to try to serve you on your spiritual journey is a great honor for me. I said yesterday to a devotee, we can be so grateful that we can contribute, or tried at least to contribute, to the lives of others. So may everything go well in your spiritual life, wherever you are, wherever you go. May the milas, the mercy of the Lord be always with you, and wish you all the best. And sometimes say a prayer for me. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Sisi Gonitai ki jai. Gaur Premanandi. Hari Hari Bo. Hare Krishna.